14 minutes away from 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. 90 degrees later this week, huh?
Yes, 90? Tomorrow. Not even later this week. We're going to get right into it.
Wow. Not so sure my body's ready for 90 degrees again.
Good thing the pool hasn't been shut down yet. That's
true.
All I can say.
I may have to come over tomorrow night.
There you go.
All right. Well, 90 degrees. Pretty good farming weather, right? Not too shabby. Maybe a little bit too warm, but still, it's doable, right?
Yeah, I'm sure you'd prefer those more pleasant temperatures.
All right, fair enough. Well, here to talk a little bit more about that, we have Elaine Beekman, Lorain County Community College's Program Developer for Agriculture, Outreach, and Education. Elaine, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Well, thank you for the invitation. I am doing great. Actually, I love this weather. I'm sitting on the tailgate of a pickup truck in the middle of a hayfield. And we're baling hay right now.
So if it's 90 tomorrow, are you guys still out there baling hay?
Oh, yeah. We got 20 acres we hope to do tomorrow.
Wow. Holy cow. So you don't seem to mind 90. Is 90 less than ideal for you guys, or is that doable?
Well, my husband and I run 300 acres of hay. So hot and dry when we're trying to make hay is great.
Yeah. Okay.
Horses got to eat, right? Yeah.
Okay. That makes plenty of sense. Well, I guess we didn't have you on here to talk about hay, although, hey, there's nothing wrong with talking about hay. We've got you on here to talk about an event next Monday, September the 16th. It's called Historically Speaking, Farming Then and Now, Comparing Farming to the World War II Era to What Farming Has Become Today. So give us an idea as to what we will experience at the Avon Lake Public Library next Monday.
Well, so Avon Lake Public Library is having a community book read of a book called Mudbound. I think you guys have spoken about it before.
Yes.
And in that book, it's about a woman and family on a farm in rural Mississippi in World War II. And I've actually been listening to it, figured I should do my homework. And it kind of struck me as funny that some of the things they talk about, the idealized view that people have of farms and people sitting there smoking a corn cob pipe or playing in a creek hasn't really changed that much. But there are a lot of other things that they talk about and the way that they farm that have changed quite a bit. So we're just going to talk about some of those changes, some of those things that haven't changed. And I hope to have a lot of opportunity just to answer people's questions about farming, because so many people are removed from production agriculture today. They don't have a direct connection to a farmer.
How specifically do you think technology in particular has really changed the farming industry over the years?
It has been like going from the Dark Ages to the Space Age. Most of our tractors nowadays that we have on my family's farm runs about 4,000 acres. My husband and I run about 300, as I said. And most of our tractors have 3 to 4 computers in them, wow, helping to run the computer or run the tractor, drive it, monitor fertilizer or seed or spray going onto the field. It's crazy how much is computerized and how much we use all of that big data to help us be better farmers.
So how does that change?
Help us be better businessmen.
So I was going to say, so how does that change the process of farming? Is there some studying that has to take place if you get a new tractor or something along those lines?
Yeah. Actually, most people my age that I know that have come back to the farm have gone off to college to get degrees in engineering or business or even computer science or soil science. And then they're coming back to the farm and using those college degrees on the farm. But every time you get a new tractor, it's just like when you upgrade your computer or your cell phone. You get used to your cell phone, and then you have to get a new one, and it takes you 3 months to figure it out.
Yeah, hey, that's a struggle that's real for all of us. I don't care what age you are. I think that's a struggle that's certainly real for everybody. Now, how much would you say the look of farming has changed over the years? And I know that's kind of a loaded question, but how would you say the general look of farming has changed over the years?
Well, back in the 40s, that we're going to be talking about in the setting of this book, there were a lot of small farmers, a lot of what we would nowadays call homesteaders, people that are farming for subsistence. Nowadays, when we think of homesteaders, we usually think of people either trying to live off the grid or even put it like maybe hobby farmers, where they have small, but they're not really using that farming operation to support their family. It's a side business or it's a hobby. They have an off-farm job. The people that are making a lot of money in that they are supporting their family on their farms, it's like a lot of other businesses. You either have to get big, get really efficient, or you have to find that niche market that allows you to make more money with less time or less resources. So we're seeing from the ag census data that there's more bigger farms, but there's also more smaller farms. And it's that middle of the road farm that we're kind of not seeing as much of in terms of size or sales.
Elaine Beekman, Lorain County Community College's Program Developer for Agricultural Outreach and Education, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon next Monday at the Avon Lake Public Library on September 16th. She'll be giving a talk titled Historically Speaking, Farming Then and Now. Well, there are some numbers that were thrown out there when I was looking at the event. And these numbers are just staggering, talking about how the number of farmers has really kind of decreased over the years from this World War II era to now. And I want to give you a chance to kind of give us these numbers and kind of expand on that and give us an idea as to why you think that the number of farmers has decreased over the years.
Well, during the setting of this book around the 1940s, one quarter of our population was actively involved in production agriculture. Nowadays, it's less than 2%, according to our last ag census data. So farming has become more efficient. But you have to remember that during this same time period, think about the changes in automobile technology, in manufacturing, in computers, all of those different things that have developed so much. And agriculture has been the same way. We've made a lot of improvements in genetics, a lot of improvements in understanding the plants and the animals that we raise in order to better manage them. And so nowadays, one farmer can feed 165 people with what he grows each year, or she grows each year. And that has increased greatly from the 1940s. In that same time period, we're using less fertilizer, less pesticides, less land, less water. So farming has really become more efficient. With that efficiency comes readily available food and more people that can work off-farm versus on-farm.
You had referenced the technology just a little while ago, talking about how tractors in particular are armed with a few different computers. A lot of what we had heard going back to June was that, you know, Mother Nature, look, she's undefeated. She's not exactly a beast that you can defeat. But what kinds of tools do you have at your disposal now that you can use with technology to kind of not necessarily beat that, but get around some of the challenges brought forth with the weather in the farming industry?
Yes, that is one truth that will never change in farming. Mother Nature always wins. we can try to work with that, though. We have improved seed genetics that allow us to plant a different variety that does better in wet weather or takes less time to mature. We have satellite and drone technologies that allow us to monitor crops so we can check for increased bacterial or fungal diseases or pests that come about because of that. And we have, you know, just risk management technologies in terms of marketing our crops. But Mother Nature will always be the number one factor when it comes to what we have to deal with on the farm.
Yep, certainly a challenge, no question about that.
I just asked, this June, it was one of the wettest that I think we've seen here in Ohio. I mean, compared to the 1940s, is it easier to deal with something like that in this day and age than it would have been back then?
I think there is improved technology, improved genetics and machinery that allow us to deal with it. But psychologically, in terms of stress and all of that on the farm, it is still the same. We can deal with it a little more easily because of the technology we have, but as a person, that stress is still the same. That worry is still the same. That frustration is still the same.
Elaine, before we let you go, I do want to give you an opportunity to promote some events that you guys have coming up with Lorain County Community College and the Lorain County Farm Bureau. You guys have a strong partnership, and I know before the end of September, you guys have a few events coming up, so I just wanted to give you a chance to kind of expand and let our listeners know what you have coming up.
Yes, we have a lot of things coming up. On September 25th, we've got a Preparing for Your Successful Harvest and Beyond, a workshop at the Lorain County Community College Wellington Center. And then the very next day, the LCC Wellington Center is having an open house and family fun fest. And then that weekend, the 28th, is the Lorain County Farm Bureau's Fall Farm Tour. We've got four farms around Wellington: Bonnie Bray Elk Farm, Pitts Beef Farm, Hook's Greenhouse, and Eline Equine are going to be opening their doors for people to come visit. And on the 22nd, I got to remember the last one, at the LaGrange Engine Show, we're going to have a kitty pedal pull sponsored by Lorain County Farm Bureau. And after the kitty pedal pull will be an adult pedal pull.
Very cool stuff. Yeah, it sounds like it'll be very, very busy all throughout the month of September. No doubt about that.
Well, yep. If they want more information, you can check out the Facebook page for either Lorain County Farm Bureau or the LCC Wellington Center.
Very good stuff. Well, Elaine, thank you so much for stopping by and spending some time with us here. Certainly looking forward to next Monday at the Avon Lake Public Library, Historically Speaking, Farming Then and Now. We appreciate the time, Elaine.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you. You have a nice day. That's Elaine Beekman with Lorain County Community College, the program developer for agriculture outreach and education. Don't forget to stop by the Avon Lake Public Library next Monday, September 16th, and you can hear Elaine Beekman on the Historically Speaking Farming Then and Now. Should be a lot of fun. That was a very interesting conversation. Well, it's amazing. I mean, just in the 10 minutes we spoke with Elaine, just how much farming has changed. But what blew me away was that statistic. You know, a quarter of this country was involved in farming in some form or fashion. That number's dropped down to 2%.
Well, she mentioned, I mean, you had the homestead farms back then. That's how families ate. You raised your crops, you raised your meat, whatever it was you needed. That's not the case anymore. And like she said, it's a little more efficient. So thank goodness that helps out with that aspect of things, too.
No doubt about it. All right, well, let's get to a break, because here in just a couple of moments, Matt will give us an update on the local news, and then we will come back for hour number two of Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.
Vice Admiral Jerome M. Adams, U.S. Surgeon General, has said, "The first step is understanding that opioid use disorder is a chronic but treatable brain disease and not a moral failing or character flaw. Like many other chronic medical conditions, opioid use disorder is both treatable and in many cases preventable." He